She was there when they returned to rebuild the town. Simsbury, Connecticut had been established in 1670, but just 5 years later, King Philip's War broke out, a violent conflict between the English settlers and the Native Americans that would last years. In 1675, the colonial authorities warned Simsbury that it was at risk of attack and everyone should move out, which they did obediently. Weeks later, the town was burned to the ground. When they returned in 1676 to rebuild and start over, Debbie Griffin was already there, living in a small hut on the edge of the old settlement. As the townsfolk all returned and settled in, though, they found ample excuses to avoid her and speak ill of her. That's what people tend to do to outsiders, isn't it? We always have, however wrong it might be, and it shows no sign of stopping anytime soon. Their list of reasons grew faster than their summer crops. They said she spent an unusual amount of time in the woods, tending to herbs and berries and all sorts of items that might be considered the ingredients of some dark, forbidden spell. She hunted, much like the rest of the community there, but she was said to be supernaturally gifted at it. And then there was the yarn. You see, every now and then, Debbie Griffin would show up in town with a large bag full of the most luxurious yarn, which she would use to trade for supplies she needed. But the people who held that yarn in their hands claimed that there was simply no way a backwoods woman could possibly have made something so beautiful without help from the devil himself. There were other stories, of course. A black cat was said to be seen around her cabin in the woods. There was a large goose that would make noise and flap its wings at people who passed too close. And both of these creatures fell neatly under the Puritan idea of a familiar, those supernatural creatures that took the form of animals and lived in the company of witches. Rumors and gossip have a way of adding up, though. They seem small at first, like pebbles tossed into a bucket, but given enough time, those pebbles can add up, and whoever might be carrying that bucket can get crushed beneath its weight. So it wasn't long before all the stories about Debbie Griffin led to a horrible confrontation. Just who got crushed, though, is open to interpretation. The story tells us that the community showed up for church one Sunday morning to find that someone had broken in and stolen a gold communion cup from the sacramental chest. Deacon Slater managed to conduct a quick cleanup before moving forward with the service as if nothing had happened. Almost. He did find a moment to retool his sermon topic from whatever had originally been planned to a more pertinent one. Theft. That evening, a number of angry young men gathered at the home of Deacon Slater to talk about what had happened and to voice their suspicions about who the culprit might be. The accusations were unanimous, too. The thief had to be Debbie Griffin. Armed with their belief and half a dozen rifles, the men left Slater's home and went to set up watch at the church building. In the middle of the night, one of the men watched from a safe distance as the tall, thin figure of the town witch strode up the road and mounted the steps to the front doors of the meeting house. She paused for a moment, and then, at least according to the witness, she vanished in a gentle puff of smoke and slipped through the keyhole into the church. A moment later, she was back, this time with a communion plate shimmering in her hand. The men gave chase, but the woman was fast. It wasn't until they had all reached the local body of water known as Three Cornered Pond that they caught up with her. One of the men took aim and fired, and it said that the bullet cut a hole through Debbie Griffin's chest so wide that the other men could see the moonlight reflecting off the pond through it. That's the legend, anyway. She didn't fall over, though. Not right away, at least. Raising the golden plate over her head, Debbie Griffin was said to have jumped high into the air before landing headfirst in the dark waters of the pond. And she never came back up. It's been nearly 350 years since Debbie Griffin took her final dive into the pond there outside of Simsbury. But even though she never resurfaced, her story has floated over the community there ever since. And if the stories are true, you can still catch a glimpse of her final deed every full moon. If you're brave enough, they say you can wander out to the pond at night and stand on its sandy shore. Then, as the moon rises high in the sky, Some of the light might penetrate the dark waters to glint off that gold communion plate, still resting firmly out of the hands of the local church. A constant reminder of the one who got away.